Shores, El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Truth is our bitch. And what I said before, Mark, you can't get me pinned down right now, okay? I've got to do the intro to the show.
All right, but as soon as you're done with the intro to the show...
You're going to pin me down on this whole Dallas remark.
You're pinning him down.
No sooner did you tell him not to do that...
But don't do that laugh. I'm going to beat you to death. To death if you do the laugh. You hear that, man?
I didn't do it on purpose.
There's only one way that people laugh, and it's on purpose. No one laughs. Certainly people laugh when they hear something funny, so I would give you that you laughed because you thought something was funny. But when you went, like that, that's on purpose. And I'll beat you to death. To death. I don't care if I go to prison. I don't care if I get the death penalty. I don't care if they bury me on Boot Hill, which, just so you don't have to ask the question, what's Boot Hill, because I can see you... You know,
you can see the question forming in the edges of his mouth right there.
Hold on, Margaret.
What do you mean the edges of my mouth? That's almost a gay.
It's gay and I'm a woman. Oh, boy.
Well, that's.
I'm telling you, bud. Boot Hill is where they put all of the bad guys in unmarked graves and in the Old West.
Back of the cowboy day.
You understand?
Yeah.
That's where I'm going to bury you. Or I'm going to be buried there, because they will put me in the gas chamber or the whatever the hell they've got, lethal injection, Sparky, all three combined, and the firing squad, and hanging. See? I don't care if they do all of that.
You're telling me you don't care if they execute you? What, five ways?
Five ways. Hanging, firing squad, gas chamber, Sparky, lethal. Okay, so in other words, goblin juice, ride the lightning, drop the pill... Stretch your neck, and ventilate. See?
What's ventilate?
It's being shot. Even I know that. You are the very definition of G-L-O-I.
Don't say it, Margaret, okay? When you do that, you're just as juvenile as him. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
I mean it, because I don't want to hear that laugh. It drives me nuts. Anyway, welcome to the show. And again, we had to start off the program in a way that I'm not proud. This particular show tonight, I'm describing to Bud the different forms of execution that I would endure in order just to get my hands around his neck and end his life. That's sad. That's a sad way to start a show, but that's exactly what I had to do because that's the state of broadcasting today. Either I'm threatening to kill someone or all the other shows suck. Now...
I would say that that's very... And I'm sorry, that is extremely narcissistic, extremely... sociopathic and yet true. That's the part that bothers me.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Henry. It's almost abnormal, but it is true.
It is true. All right, welcome to our program. We're online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. If you go over to philhenryshow.com, it doesn't exist. I'm kidding. Yes, it does, and you will see live streaming video of this show, this here show, right now. On there at philhenryshow.com, you'll get access, if you have a backstage pass, to thousands of hours of archived radio material. Had a fantastic meeting today with my brothers at Molotov and my good friend and close personal friend, my representative, my agent, my stepson, my writer, Alex Cohen.
Yay!
Who was educating me as to the... Because I kept saying, I said, you know, we have the free Phil Henry podcast. And the free Phil Henry podcast is drawn from our archives. And I said, I don't want that free Phil Henry podcast to be so frequent and so numerous that it begins to actually bite into the value you get when you subscribe to our website. He said to me, Phil, he looked me in the eye and he said, Phil, you moron. And he's 25 and I'm 60. But nonetheless, he said, Phil, you blithering idiot. He said, we do like a half an hour a day. That comes out to about 120 hours a year, and we have 5,000 hours. Even if we wanted to, if we made an effort at, if we made it a committed mission in life to roll out for free everything that we have on our website, we'd never, ever get it done. Not in your lifetime. Maybe. If you had the time, and if you had the time to do that, if you have no life and no life at all, and you have the time to listen to all 5,000 hours of our radio show at one sitting, it would take you a good 6 months.
Wait a minute. Are you saying to me that you... What about sleep?
Yeah, what about sleep and eating?
sleep and eat. What a caveman.
Hold on. Yes, if you slept, then it, I'm talking about if you never slept. If you never slept, if you never ate.
What about going to the bathroom?
Okay, Robert, if you never slept, never ate, never went to the bathroom, it would take you 6 months to listen to all 5,000 hours of our show. I think. I don't know. I could be wrong. What, 6 months? That's impossible. It's got to be something. But that's if you're sleeping, you know, now you're getting into ears. All right, so join us there at philhenryshow.com. That's the longest promotion I think I've ever done for our website. There's some goofy stuff happening. One of the things that has been going on are the very untoward remarks, or so I'm told, by Mark Cuban, or if you will, if you were Margaret, and Margaret, you can help me with this, Mark Cuban.
Who is Mark Cuban?
He is the owner of the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, he's a very interesting man.
Yeah, Mark Cuban's a very interesting man, very accomplished man.
But you ask, if it is Cuban, yes. Well, it's either Mark Cuban, if you want, you're asking about the French.
Yes, I'm asking about the French.
Are you being a smartass?
Margaret, I know you're going to do it anyway, so.
Well.
So just do it.
It's Mark, if it's Mark Cuban.
Yes.
The correct pronunciation.
Yeah, I'm sure you're all. The correct.
Would you do, are you going to do it or I'm going to do it?
Hold on.
What are you doing? Oh! Wow!
Go ahead.
The correct French pronunciation of Mark Cuban would be Cuban, Mark Cuban, or Mark Cuban, or the more pronounced and the more, the harder K would be Mark Cuba or Cuba.
Mark Cuba?
Yes. Or if you want, and I know that these two will laugh, but it is technically Mark Cubal, or if you want, Cubal. A lot of people will say that.
Yeah, a lot of people say cue ball like they said crystal ball.
Who's crystal ball?
That's the guy that,
That was Christopher Columbus. Christopher, or crystal ball, Colombo.
Crystal ball Colombo.
That was the actual name and the pronunciation of Christopher Columbus, or Christopher Columba.
And where are we now? Are we with the French pronunciation?
Yes, Phil, that's where we are. What a...
Well, Margaret...
You know, I'm trying to educate you and whatever you've got for an audience. I'm trying to educate you and whatever is left of your radio audience to how... Never mind.
Yeah, never mind. There's the key phrase.
Oh, is that predictable now?
Yeah, it is pretty much predictable because when I ask you for something, you always go, oh, never mind. Hey, Margaret, how about explaining that? Oh, never mind. That's what you do.
Only because I'm talking to a blithering idiot, not you. The blithering idiot is him.
Talk about me.
There you go, hey. And yes, then some of, not all of, the blithering idiots that are in your audience. All right?
Well, that's really going to go a long way toward me keeping the so-called whatever audience I've got left. Because I don't think... All right. Mark Cuban or Mark Cuba or...
No. Mark Cubul.
All right, I'm going to...
I'm going to the toilet.
Go ahead.
Why even listen, man? Just go ahead and do it.
I'm doing it the way everybody knows the name. Mark, now I forgot. Is it Mark Cubul or Mark...
Mark, it's Mark Cubul. Cubul.
It's Mark Cuban.
No, it isn't. It's Mark Quebec.
Yeah, it might even be Tony Quebec.
All right, Mark Quebec, Mark Cobo, Mark Cuban. The Lakers heard Mark Cuban's... Mark, I can't even say it now.
God, what's wrong with you, man? It's like you stuck your finger in an
electrical socket?
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
I'm trying to get this story read. The Lakers heard Mark Cuban's comments about Kobe Bryant, and they were not amused. The Dallas Maverick, that's the French, the Dallas Mavericks owner said in a radio interview on Friday that the Lakers should consider using their one-time amnesty provision on Bryant this summer. Bryant has one more season and $30.5 million left on his contract. He's one of four players the Lakers can waive via the money-saving device after this season. That is called amnesty. And you can waive a player of a Kobe Bryant's stature as well as contractual commitment, Save yourself the money. You're as clean as a baby's you-know-what. You move on. Thank you very much. The Lakers said, we're aware of Mark Cuban's comments. We're used to them. He's got a big, fat mouth, and sometimes his guts run right out of it. Said, no, I'm kidding. No, they didn't say that. They said, we're aware of Mark Cuban's comments and feel they are inappropriate, Lakers spokesman John Black said. As to the issue itself, we will not comment publicly on the amnesty issue as it relates to any of our players. The Lakers will not file a formal complaint with the NBA, though the league is looking into the matter and can fine Cuban for his comments. Really? That didn't, I mean, it's kind of harsh, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
The Lakers will file a formal complaint with the NBA. Laker general manager Mitch Kupchak declined to comment. Pau Gasol, Meta World Peace, and Steve Blake are the other three players the Lakers can waive this summer to avoid paying luxury taxes on their salaries. The Lakers still have to pay the salary of whichever player they amnesty. So if you put a Kobe Bryant out there, they're going to still owe him the $30 million, right? If you look at the payroll, even if Dwight Howard comes back, you've got to ask the question, should they amnesty Kobe? Cuban told 103.3 FM, The Dork in Dallas.
Better name of it?
I don't know.
Well, then why'd you call it a dork? You might even be on it.
If I'm on an FM station in Dallas, I take back everything I ever said about, well, never mind. In other words, no, we're not. So he told 103.3, the flaming dork in Dallas, you just don't know, right? It's the same reason I wouldn't get rid of Nowitzki, Dirk Nowitzki. I'd take a hit for a season rather than get rid of Dirk. I've made that commitment to him over the years, and he's returned that commitment. See, I'm Mark Cuban. I am not the L.A. Lakers. I am the owner of the Dallas Maverick. I am not a dirty, scum-sucking, low-life, Hollywood kind of a guy. When I say Kobe, I don't think they do it, but they've got some choices to make. Now they're in a big market, but they're still limited. The Knicks, the same thing. Boston, the same thing. I'm in Dallas. Whatever. The Lakers have a $100 million payroll this season, are paying an extra $30 million in luxury taxes. This is a tax that you pay to the league, I guess, if you go over the cap or whatever the horse dung is. We'll be back. We'll talk a little bit more about this and whether the Lakers should be as upset. It sounds to me like a fairly benign thing that, although it is in opposition to league rules, it's meddling. It's sticking your big, fat Cuban nose into the middle of the Lakers' beeswax. World-famous Phil Henry Show, that and more, coming back here on this, whoa, Friday night, and philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil That's Henry right. Show.
That's right. Back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, Bob Green is going to join us. Mr. Green was a owner, a very, very brief time, of the Anaheim Amigos. I know you don't know who they are, but or most of you don't. Do you know, Bud?
I've never heard of them, no.
Margaret?
No, the Anaheim what?
Anaheim Amigos.
Yeah, I know who they are.
You do, Robert?
Yeah.
Well, there was a resurgence of the American Basketball Association, and they tried to bring back some of the original teams. It was a, if you will, and I hate to use this term, it was a stillborn effort, in the words of Alfred Hitchcock in the movie with Anthony Hopkins. Well, there's no other way to say it, dear. It's stillborn, when he was talking about his wife's newest script. Now then.
Why did you bring all of that up? Was that your way of sort of putting a thumb in the eye of women that try to write?
No.
Well, then why would you do that?
Because I thought it was very funny. I'm not sure. Margaret, don't take everything so personally. God.
Yeah, no kidding. You're taking on it personally and stuff.
Don't look at me and then with the wandering eye think you're going to get away with a cheap look.
He's not looking at your breasts, okay?
Wait, no comment on that one.
Oh, you know, he's not. I saw the eye go up and down, so he's trying to pretend like he's angry at me. And in the meantime, he's trying to sneak in.
He's trying to sneak in a peek?
I think he's trying to sneak a peek, yes.
Margaret, no. He's got the wandering eye. Let's just leave it at that. He's not trying to sneak a peek at one of your breasts. I'm looking directly at your breasts right now. What do you think about that?
You're the host of the show, and you're making a point. I don't think you're doing it salaciously.
Yeah.
So you are.
Look, I don't want to talk about this, and I've got people listening who want me to get on with this show and not hear about you and the lazy eye that this guy here,
Bud
has. They want me to start talking again about Mark Kubal. Remember him?
I didn't say Kubal. You know, you don't retain things very well.
You do. You retain your water in your ankles. And,
well, you lousy...
Hey! I told you, there's only one guy around here that puts his hands on Dickman, and when I do, his life will end, and that's me. You do, and you retain it in your...
I hope, Phil, I really, really hope that when you die, even if you lived a good life, you go to hell.
God, you're crying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that was funny, huh?
I gotta admit, Bud, that was a good one. You do, and it's water, and it's all in your ankles. You know, you gotta know a woman, you gotta, just any woman, to appreciate the beauty of that comment. All right, so, what we had was the following comment by Mark Cuban of the Dallas Mavericks. He made this big mouth yak, you know, you're not supposed to say stuff about another team, I guess. You can't say, you know, that their mothers wear army boots. I don't know what the hell it is. So, on the line with us from Buena Park, California, apparently back in the mid part of the last decade, the mid-2000s, there was an effort to revive what had once been the ABA, the American Basketball Association, and they were going to put the franchise back in Anaheim. There's an original Anaheim Amigos franchise. Robert Greene, who was the CEO of Fraser Foods, was a part of that effort, and Bob joins us on our newsmaker line. Bob, how you doing tonight?
Phil, I'm doing really great, and it's an interesting story, the old Anaheim Amigos, I'll tell you that.
And so you were a minority partner?
Yeah, we had myself and Terry Coutel had a minority stake in the club of about 25, give or take, percent. And then the majority owner was Dan Davidson and his partners. But Dan had the majority of the stake and his partners had a minority. In other words, what you had was a majority of a, can I just tell you, Phil, I'm looking at Animal Planet right now, and they've got a little tiger cub on there, and I got distracted. We had 25%, and Dan Davidson and his partners had a majority, but Dan had the majority ownership. So if you were looking, if you were asking me, well, who was the majority owner of the Anaheim Amigos, I'd say it was Dan, but his partners and he were the majority owners, too.
All right, well, I mean, the club, the league didn't even get off the ground.
Well, it got off the ground. We had owners in place. We had a franchise. We had the franchises in place.
So you had the original ABA franchises.
Well, yeah, we had the original ABA namesakes franchise. We had the Anaheim Amigos, the Oakland Oaks, the Denver Rockets, as they were originally called, the Indiana Pacers, the you know, different clubs, even though the Indiana Pacers exist now as an NBA team, ours was the, we changed the name to the Indiana New Pacers or the Indiana Improved Pacers, something like that.
The Indiana Improved Pacers, that sounds like it sounds like an awkward name, although I suppose it could be taken as quite a unique way of selling an old product, you know?
Well, it was very much not an old product. It was a new product. It was a new team for the city, but we did have to distinguish between the Indiana Pacers and the new Indiana Pacers, which would be the new or the Indiana Improved Pacers or the Indiana Brand New Pacers.
All right, so the Anaheim Amigos, you were the owner of the Anaheim, part owner of the Anaheim Amigos, and you know a little bit about this idea of comments, owner to owner, comments in the press, the rule in the NBA, which is I believe, you know, involving yourself in the business of another owner in the league within the league's structure, is verboten.
Well, yeah, and it's a good rule, Phil, because you don't want to be in a position. I don't think any businessman wants to be suddenly in a position of being perceived as someone who is trying to stick his nose into another guy's business. It's just not, I don't think there's any business publicly. Yeah, sure, there's people behind the scenes who will do this, and I can tell you I've been known to have done it, and I'm not proud of it, And there have been some very well-publicized cases where I have involved myself in someone else's business, even to its improvement, even so that it was made better, and yet I, in the end, and only I, was hung from a cross. And
all right, hold the line. Robert Greene is with us as we talk about the Kobe Bryant-Mark Cuban controversy, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
And the guy's name is not Kubal, but we had a guy named Mark Kubal.
This is world-famous.
What did you
Bill
say
Hendry
about Scott?
Hold on for a minute, will you? Welcome back to world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I got no problem repeating what I said. I said Scott Farrell deserves the good fortune and the good gig that he's got. Why? What's wrong with that?
Well, you know, I'll jump into the fray, Phil. Scott Farrell, I think, and you may know him. I don't know.
No, I don't know Scott Farrell, but I know of him, and he and I have traded tweets. That's the way it's done these days.
Well, all right. You know, you can go on Twitter, but Scott Farrell, I think, is a very he's unusual, and at this particular time in sports, where we need the voices of a Dan Patrick and the good traditional voices of, and you got Scott Farrell.
Yes, I don't understand either, Phil. I think this man Farrell that you're talking about, he can't speak properly. It sounds as if he's
to me, it sounds like he's gargling his own saliva.
Scott Farrell is a great original broadcaster in the sports format. I don't want to get into a big thing, but I think Scott Farrell, along with Rome, you know, you got to value unique voices, okay?
Yeah, I've heard you say that, Phil, and that's all well and good, but when you've got a guy that you, if he is giving the impression to you that, well, I'll say it, methamphetamine.
No, don't say that, okay? Don't say that.
Why not?
Because he's got advertisers, too. And he doesn't do anything like that to you, maybe. That's what it sounds like to me and to a vast majority of people. He's an original broadcaster. I don't know what you're looking at, Margaret. What is it with you people? Do you know, what's wrong with Scott Farrell?
I think you know that we both have a vested interest in Dan Patrick. I think he's hysterically funny.
Okay.
Oh, that's cute. So you're trying to tell me Dan Patrick is not funny?
I didn't say that he wasn't funny. I don't really see Dan Patrick as any kind of fantastically marvelous. No, I don't.
Are you kidding me? And you, in other words, you're going to stand here and start talking up Scott Farrell and someone as articulate, and I think he's very cute.
What, physically?
No, not physically.
We're talking about his sense of humor, Phil.
I'm sorry, man. Dan Patrick ain't... Well, he's not funny to me.
You know, you are such an elitist, and you think you're so wonderful. Forget it.
What is it? What are you guys all of a sudden... What are you, his agent? You know, Dan Patrick is fine, and God bless him. I hope he continues having the success he has. But you're not going to sit here... You're not going to try to get me to badmouth a guy like Scott Farrell or anybody else that's trying to do something different or has made his name on doing things differently, so that we can build up another guy like Dan Patrick, so we can build up another mediocrity like Dan Patrick.
Oh, baby. Did you hear that?
Yes, I heard it. I don't think I believed it, though.
Well, what is it all of a sudden, man? I mean, am I not allowed to say that? I'm sorry. I don't think he's that good.
You just called Dan Patrick a mediocrity. You understand what you did, don't you? What you did was you took one of the most powerful sports voices in America... You lifted your leg to him. You looked down. You...
Go ahead. I know that you don't want to say it because there's a female present. Go ahead, Bob.
Thank you. You looked down, shook off.
Boy, you know what? I had to hang up on you.
Well, that's what I think you did.
I had to hang up on you just for that comment.
Well, that's what I think you did. And again, Phil, I will tell you that people like myself, people like Ms. Gray, people that want to see an improvement in sports radio... And for you to look at a guy like Dan Patrick, excuse me, I took Margaret Gray to dinner last night, and that's what my comment is for you.
You know what, I'm going to hang up on you right now.
Why?
Because you belched.
I said I took Miss Gray to dinner last night.
It wasn't a date. It was a business dinner.
Yes, it was a business dinner.
And so you belched why?
I had the same thing she had.
Yeah, I bet you did.
All right, that does it. Hey, hey, hey!
I'm going to fire some people.
Yeah, that's what you say, but you never do.
All right, I'm hanging up on you then.
Now, wait a minute, Henry. Don't get...
So let me just say something here, folks, okay? Hey, Margaret?
Did I hear you say you're going to fire me?
If you don't get your ass back in here, and Bud, you too.
Fine.
Dan Patrick is a fine broadcaster. I'm not going to sit here and... Get this guy Green back, too.
You hung up on him.
I don't care. He's a fine broadcaster. I have a right to my opinion, and my opinion is that I like guys like Pharrell. I like original guys. I don't know how else to say it. If you don't understand, if you don't agree, if you don't like it, that's fine. But I'm the host of the show. I get to say what I want to say, and I get to control what everybody else in the show says so that it comes out sounding something like the Phil Henry Show, and that's too bad if you don't like it. And get your own show.
Well, you don't have to speak to me.
Oh, don't start bawling, okay? Bob.
You know, Mr. Henry, with the money that I've got, to have a phone hung up on me by a guy like you, the only reason why I'm back on the air with you is because I'm curious and I'm amused to see just exactly where we're going to go now. Okay?
Yeah, well, whatever. I still have not changed my opinion, and that's what that is. Now, we do want to find out about your stewardship of the Anaheim Amigos as it relates to this present controversy between Mark Cuban and Kobe Bryant.
All right, I want to make the comments that I want to make. What you just said there was difficult for me to understand. I didn't understand what you were saying.
Yeah, that was some big words.
Yeah.
There were some big words?
You used a couple of big words, if you don't mind repeating what you said. And
I said I want to get back to talking about the news story involving Mark Cuban and Kobe Bryant.
Well, you used the word stewardship.
Okay, yeah. So in any event, Mark Cuban, his ownership, his stewardship, his caretaking, if you will, of the Dallas Mavericks, and you don't have to come back and say to me, oh, he's the owner, he's not a caretaker, and we can get into another 15 minutes of that, okay?
Fine.
All right, so when you owned the Anaheim Amigos all 8 months, and you were a partner...
All 8 months. This is what Ms. Gray was talking about last night when she said you like to accentuate negative things. And, again, Animal Planet has a bear cub drinking out of a baby bottle. How am I supposed to concentrate?
Will you turn Animal Planet off, then?
Turn it off. Jerry, get Muhammad to turn that off, will you? Who is?
Muhammad.
Hey, Muhammad. Muhammad, turn off Animal Planet, will you? I know you want to see it, but I don't want to see it. I don't want to see a bear cub with a baby bottle. That I will not stand for.
Okay, we're on the air.
I'm on the air right now with the Phil Henry Show. So turn off the Animal Planet. I don't want to see no bear cub with no baby bottle. How many times I got to tell you guys this? I got to tell them this all the time, Phil. I'm sorry.
Well, how often do you have to tell them that exact thing?
What?
A bear cub with a baby bottle.
Every time they got Animal Planet on. Phil, when I owned the Anaheim Amigos, a part ownership of the Anaheim Amigos, we introduced cost-cutting measures, and we introduced new revenue streams that enabled us to show, at least on paper to the league, that we had a functioning financial operation with the Anaheim Amigos that was going to show, if not a profit, it was going to show a minimum of red tape in the first year, or excuse me, not red tape, red ink in the first year. And some of those are obviously confidential. I can't get into them.
Well, can I mention one?
Excuse me? I don't know where you get your information.
Well, I mean, your records were public as part of a tax... I'm sorry, sir, but they were public as part of a tax investigation by the IRS.
Not my records. The records of my partner, Larry Kutan, who, by the way... You know, his name is like Cuban, but he's not related.
To Mark Cuban?
Exactly. No, Larry Kutan, he was found not guilty, but there was nothing wrong. But we did have a couple of things in there. Are you referring to the pay toilets?
Yes, sir, I am. You had installed in the arena there, the old Anaheim Convention Center, you had installed pay toilets or pay stalls.
That is exactly right, and to this day I defend that decision.
Okay, but the criticism was almost deafening that you would have paying customers at a basketball game waiting to use a toilet.
Waiting to use a toilet. Let's stop right there and consider. Do you have a quarter?
Look, Mr. Green.
No. Just think about it. Do you have a quarter? Is it that hard to carry a quarter? No, it isn't.
Yeah, but it was 50 cents to use the pay toilets.
Oh, no. You mean I have to carry two quarters? Well, all right. That's a hardship.
Sarcasm aside, do you think that the fans of the Anaheim Amigos...
No, I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm being very literal here. Are you telling me that two quarters is too much for a guy to carry around?
No. I'm saying that the fans of this basketball team, the Anaheim Amigos, were going to, as was indicated in the market research, were going to rebel. They were going to rebel about going into a basketball game and having to pull two quarters out of their pocket to use the toilet at a major arena where you know what it's like. I mean, those bathrooms are never empty. There's people going in and out of there all the time. They're always full. You're always standing in line.
Exactly. You're always standing in line. That is a revenue stream that was completely ignored by other members, not only of the ABA Ownership Council, but the NBA's Ownership Agreement Seminar and Roundtable. And, as long as I said it, and NBC. NBC could have saved money by putting pay toilets into their headquarters in New York. So this isn't something that I don't know what I'm talking about, and I'm talking out of my, rear end. I am talking out of my mouth, and my rear end does its own talking. And
well, what is he talking about?
Never mind, okay?
Well, Bob, what you're saying is you know what you're talking about.
Yes, I know what I'm talking about, but these guys generally will say I'm talking out of my rear end.
All right, so let me ask you this. So you guys had pay toilets.
Mr. Henry, you are finding fault with an organization that was only around for 8 months, and I implemented some cost-cutting measures that I felt was going to help us not save money and not even, perhaps it wasn't even going to put us in the black, but we would show a minimum of red ink. We would probably have less red ink than any other team in the league.
Okay, I don't know whether that's a recommendation or not. Hey, look at this. We've got pay toilets. Are we making money? No, but we're losing less money than any, you know.
Oh, well, you know, go ahead and laugh. That's what happened. People will be derisive when they cannot come up with a better reason to hate you. And that's what this is about. This is personal hatred.
And, no, sir, it's not.
Well, the number of times I've been on your radio show, I think it's personal hatred.
Well, I have to weigh in. I agree, Phil. I think that I've heard Bob on your program.
Wait. I'm not going to sit still and have anybody tell me that I hate anyone. I can tell you right now, I know what hate is. And have I felt hate in my life? Yes, I have.
Are you going to be giving a speech, or are we going to get to the point here? I mean, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, but are you going to give a big speech? Are you giving a sermon, or are we going to get to the point? Because if we're going to...
And so in the end, you hang up.
Yes, I did, because his smart assery, to use a word that Bud coined, and I happen to like it.
Thank you, Mr. Henry.
You're welcome. Yes, I did hang up on him. You may speak for him, Margaret. When we're back from the commercial break, not right now.
I wasn't going to say anything right now.
Yes, you were, because you went, your mouth opened up. And no comment on that. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth. Are you saying
is
my mouth
bitch.
Opened up?
The Phil Henry
yeah.
Show.
Your mouth opened up in anticipation of something. Ah!
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show for this Friday night. With me is Margaret Gray and Bud Dickman, along with Robert Leonard. We did have Robert Green, who was a one-time part owner of the Anaheim Amigos of the ABA. Not the original Anaheim Amigos of the ABA, but a second incarnation of them. And one of the cost-cutting measures that he introduced was the pay toilet. And the market research they did showed that there would be a backlash, the likes of which would cost them fans and revenue. But he apparently he didn't want to talk about that. he wanted to get personal with me, and he wanted to talk about you, and he's belching on the air.
Phil, you did not give that man a chance.
No, Margaret, I gave him every chance in the book. Every chance in the book.
No, you did not give him a chance to talk about the pay toilet issue. Now, you did say that I would have the opportunity here in this segment, right?
Yes.
All right. And would you tell him not to be staring at me like that?
But why do you do it on purpose.
I got a lazy eye.
No, I know that, but you do it on purpose to piss her off. Stop.
Thank you. Robert Greene, who I have known, my family and his family, the families have known each other for a long time. As a matter of fact, Phil, I come from, on my husband Frank's side, we come from a rather long line of, yes, money and influence in San Marino. Now, San Marino is the home of Harvey Wyman, one of your friends. San Marino is old Los Angeles money. Let's not make any mistake about that. It is old Los Angeles money. When people in San Marino go out for dinner, they go out for dinner on a Saturday night in blue blazers and tan trench coats, and the women wear their hair like Betty Page. I know that sounds mad. I know it sounds mad.
Yeah, it sort of...
Just, will you allow me to continue?
I want to recap. When people in San Marino...
Yeah, the old money in San Marino.
When they go out to dinner, they wear blue blazers, tan trench coats, and the women cut their hair like Betty Page.
Don't give me the look, Phil, like you're going to call someone with some sort of official status to talk me into the back of a van.
Sorry.
We were at dinner at the Raymond House, and I am very loath to mention the Raymond House on the air because it is one of my favorite restaurants. And now by saying it on the air, people that listen to you woo are going to want to go there, flood the place in their jeans and their tank tops and their Miss Kitty wear. And I mourn for the Raymond House.
Margaret, would you get to the point?
I'm sorry. The point is this. Robert Greene...
You know, you spend so much time...
Never mind.
Never mind.
Not just never mind. I'm not going to take it.
You don't even remember what you're going to say.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't remember. You were so busy telling us about how people in San Marino go to dinner on a Saturday night in a tan trench coat with their hair like Betty Page.
The women wear their hair like Betty Page. Does that make you feel better?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I thought the men wore their hair like Betty Page. Thank you. And by the way, Betty Page, who's Betty Page?
You don't know. You've got a book of Betty Page pictures, Phil, that I'll bet if I tried to find chapter 3, I'd have to get a glue gun.
All right, that's it.
Where are you going?
I'm getting up and I'm leaving. And you can host the final segment of this hour.
What a baby.
Goodbye.
Norman's Gray, you're on.
This is Margaret Gray. Phil Hendry has walked off of the show. I wondered how long it would take him to do that. I've always found Phil to be a gutless man, a man of very little true sinew, if you will, moral sinew. The courage, which is the French of courage, the courage of Mr. Hendry. Well, Bud, you do it.
I can't do it. You're supposed to do it. This Bud Dickman on a radio on... In any way, Pistorius is on bail.
Give me that.
I'll do it.
Finally.
Yeah, hard, isn't it, to do this thing without me? All right, we're all done with all of that bull crap. I don't want to talk about San Marino and their Betty Page haircuts. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear about their tan trench coats. I don't want to hear you talking about courage. I don't want to hear about, and if you say what you said about Betty Page and me having a book of, I don't even know who the hell she is.
Well, whose book of Betty Page S&M photos was that?
It was mine.
Bud's.
All right, it's an honest mistake.
Yeah, it's an honest mistake. Real Bud and I, man, you couldn't tell. A South African magistrate allowed Oscar Pistorius to go free on bail Friday Here's a guy that's accused of murdering someone, but you go right ahead and take a walk. Oh, and by the way, it's a Friday, so that'll give you a couple of 2 days, you know, like 2 day head start on leaving the country and going on an international manhunt. South African magistrate allowed Oscar Pistorius.
Well, you're telling the South Africans how to run their country.
Margaret, butt out. Allowed Oscar Pistorius to go free on bail Friday, capping hearings that foreshadow a dramatic trial on the Valentine's Day killing of the athlete's girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp. Pistorius' family members and supporters shouted yes when Chief Magistrate Desmond Nair made his decision after a more than 1 hour and 45 minute explanation of his ruling to a packed courtroom. He took an hour and 45 minutes to go through the legal precedents, the legal reasoning, so on and so forth, for letting this guy out on bail. During an unusually long 4 day bail hearing, Pistorius was charged with premeditated murder in Steenkamp's death. He says the shooting was accidental. Nair set the bail at R1 million, which is $113,000. God, that ain't much, man, for a murder rap, with $11,300 in cash up front and proof that the rest is available. The magistrate said Pistorius must hand over his passports and also turn in any other guns he owns. Pistorius said, "You bet, Your Honor. Let me just go home and grab those. It'll take me a couple of days." And the judge said, "Sure, there's just, you know, whenever you get to it." We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. More news. This story, which of course we are going to get into in depth, the Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, as well as others. Dana White says he'd support a gay male fighter in the UFC and would fix any potential discrimination. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.